Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of Mentally Chill. I'm your host, Kristen Carney. And before I jump into the episode, I want to take a quick second to say hi and to say hello and to let you guys know that I am thinking about you and that I hope you're doing well. And I hope you're doing better than you normally are. And I hope your normal is better than what it was a month ago. But if you're not doing well and if your normal is not better than it was a month ago, that's okay. Just by listening to the show, you're taking steps to try to help yourself or to improve your life. And that means a lot. I know when I'm feeling down, really, it's incredibly difficult for me to turn on a podcast. I don't want to hear someone. And so the fact that you guys are well enough to want to hear someone talk is a good sign. So the reason I wanted to touch on this is because I get a decent amount of messages from people saying that they look forward to the show. And that means so much to me. And I feel like you're really seeing me, like you're really seeing me if you like the show. And that is so meaningful to me. So I want to let you know that you mean a lot to me and that I think about you guys all the time. And I hope you're all doing well. And my heart, you know, is I love that you love the show, and that makes my heart feel very big and very good, and it keeps me doing the show. But I don't want you guys to not be heard or to feel like you're not heard, because if I feel heard, I feel like you should be heard, not hurt. I feel like that sounds like I'm going to be saying that I'm hurt. I hope you guys feel heard as well, because I hear your messages, I see them, and I love them, and I appreciate them. And so, That's really it. Just, I'm thinking about you guys. And that's all that matters. If I'm thinking about you guys, who cares if anyone else is? I am. So anyway, that's that. And, the show today, I have comedian Zara Mizrahi, and she's, incredibly funny. And I had no idea that she's also incredibly holistic. She does yoga. She's certified as a teacher. She does meditation. She takes herbal supplements. She's a vegan, all sorts of things. I had no idea. No idea. I just assume if someone's a comedian, they're just, you know, eating McDonald's all day and maybe popping an antidepressant, but definitely not herbal supplements. So I was very surprised. And I thought the episode was going to be more about panic attacks. And it turned out not really to be about that at all. It turned out to be more advice driven with, you know, meditation, things like that. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, I think this is a decent theme to stick with actual help or actual advice and more of a positive vibe and stuff. So I didn't plan on this. I didn't choose this because last week I did a positivity episode and this week it's a little bit positive as well. This was not intentional. I'm not going to the bright side. I'm staying right on the dark side. However, I think for the month, I'm going to ride the wave, and I hope you guys ride it with me as well. And of course, really quick thanks to Patreon people, especially Amy, who joined this week. And if you guys feel like becoming part of the scene there, please go to patreon.com/mentallychill. But no pressure. I'll only starve to death if you don't. But seriously, don't worry about me. No, but I mean, I can't pay my rent if you don't. But honestly, I don't want to guilt trip you guys. But I'll be on the street next week if you don't. Anyway, hope to see you on there. And if you guys want to hit me up, like I said, I get messages all the time saying that, and this is not braggy. I'm not being like, oh, I get messages all the time. But I get a fair amount of messages. And if you do want to message me, a good portal to do that is email. So you can email me at contact@mentallychillpodcast, and I'm more likely to be able to get back to you there because I have messages coming in from all directions, like Instagram, Patreon, my contact page on my personal website, my Snapchat, Twitter, DMs, the email, and so my brain starts to spin a little bit, and I'm very bad at not getting overwhelmed quickly. So anyway, if you want to hit me up, please, I want to hear you, but definitely send it to contact@mentallychillpodcast. And I will definitely get back to you if you send it to there. I've missed a couple emails. So anyone that I haven't replied back to on email, I deeply apologize. And also, I keep forgetting to mention this. T-shirts. People are asking about t-shirts. I just ordered a second batch. There's not crazy amounts. I ordered about 20. And I have most of those going to people on Patreon. I have a couple left over. So if you want to email me and see if I have your size, that will be in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. I'll have those in. But if you want to continue to be patient and wait, I'm putting together a website finally and getting a system of basically you order online and they make it on demand. And so I don't have to buy this bulk supply because I don't have those kinds of funds. So the t-shirts also, which I've talked about on the live stream I do on Patreon, the t-shirts will start having like little lines or phrases on them. So one that's going to be available is on the front, it will say, "You're the reason I don't leave the house," or something like that. And then Mentally Chill Podcast on the back. And then another one, like for a coffee mug, will say like, you know, "Coffee won't cure depression, but at least it's worth a try," or something like stuff like that. So they'll be a little bit more playful rather than just having the brand name or show name or whatever it is. Is this a brand? I don't know. I think that's it. Thanks for listening to the show and this spiel. And anyway, I hope you enjoy this week's show. So enjoy. So now you're kind of in a space where you get panic attacks.
Yeah, and they happen way less now than they used to, just because I'm on like a pretty consistent regimen of like self-care.
Okay, so tell me, I don't think I've technically had a panic attack. I think I've had things that feel very panicky and very heightened anxiety, but I don't think I technically have ever had a panic attack. So will you describe for me like what it actually feels like?
Yeah, first I get really hot.
Okay.
And then
and you're like, way too young for menopause, so I'll be not that.
Yeah, and I wish I weren't. I wish I could just get out of the way.
Tell
you
me
know
about it.
I'm down because I feel like I've already done it, so why not just go all the way.
Totally.
I get really hot and just like shaky and short of breath. I had one while I was driving, but they don't come out of nowhere for me. Some people, they just get them, but mine are definitely, they have a base. I messed up something like at work, and then on top of it, I was leaving town like that night, and I was just like stressing out.
Yeah.
And then I was late for something. So I was driving and there was traffic and it was just like this whole thing. And I was like, the only way I can get out of this phase of my life. And then it gets really big, you know, mm-hmm. The only way I can get out of this is if I do well at this job so I can make money so I don't have to have the job anymore. And then, right. And then it just spirals out of control.
On the show, I tend to compare everything to a mountain. And it's almost like comical at this point. I'm like, it's like climbing a mountain. Don't look at it like a mountain. It's not a mountain. But so all of a sudden you'll make it into a mountain in mm-hmm. your mind.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just kind of feel like, does it feel like the wall? I know you're in a car, but like, does it feel like, or in that scenario, obviously, mm-hmm. but does it feel like the walls are closing in a little bit? Or do you feel like claustrophobic-y? Or?
Yeah. And you sort of just feel like out of moves. You're like, what do I even do right now?
Okay. So it's like the end.
Yeah, it's really scary. But then I was just like, what do? I try to just breathe. It sounds so basic, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, but breathing is so important. The first time I ever, well, I've only taken one meditation class, but I have meditated since. But so I took a class like years and years ago, and I never realized that meditating was so focused on breath. My theory is, and the only times I've meditated since have been somewhat recently using the app Headspace, which the guy's voice is just so relaxing. Have you ever heard of that app?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like British and like, I thought I was going to be annoyed because I was like, oh, it's gonna be British and like maybe pretentious. Like he like lives in the kingdom or something. Uh-huh. Like I was like, it's going to annoy me.
Oh, he's a duke.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, he's a duke. What does he know about panic and, you know, relaxing? Like he doesn't know.
Yeah. He's raised privileged. Right. He doesn't have any struggles.
That's what in my brain. But he was like a monk at some point or something. So I opened up my mind and was willing to actually listen to his voice on the app. And it was so soothing to me that I was falling asleep to it at night. And then I ran out of like my free trial and I'm like, nah, I don't really know if I want to like, but I got like my 10 days worth of his voice. But when I had taken the class and it was all about breathing, I was like, oh, this is why meditating feels good. Because like when you mess with your breath, it's like you almost get high.
Oh, yeah. That was part of my whole hippie thing that I did.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I meditate every day now.
You do?
Every day. I've been doing it every day for like 7 years, 8 years.
How long?
Anywhere from 30 to an hour, I do.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. But
you don't get like...
If I have the time... No, I don't. I mean, sometimes it's easier than others, but no, never. I'm always like, fuck, I wish I could do this more.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I did like his... I mean, I did the max. It was like 10 minutes. And I know people obviously meditate longer than that, but to me 10 minutes felt like an eternity. One, I wasn't trained really. I was just kind of randomly starting it, but it was like I kept going in my mind like I should be doing something else. I should be, you know, writing, or I should be like, I couldn't check out at all.
Yeah, it took me a while to build up to that time. Yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's almost like the treadmill.
But you know, when you can't like clear your head and when you can't stop thinking, I just think of it as like, okay, it's your brain cleansing itself kind of. So you're just getting all these thoughts out of the way for later.
Yeah.
So then you don't think them later in the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's still productive.
A couple shows ago, I had my friend Mike on and he was talking about waking up in the morning and writing and just like doing like a brain dump. And I said, well, doesn't that feel more like you're ruminating on those things more? Because it's like they're in your brain. Now they're on a piece of paper. Doesn't it feel just more official, like these thoughts are real? And he was like, absolutely not. I throw them away and I feel like I release those thoughts. But I would feel like more like, oh, now I'm really focused on them because I was writing about them. And now they're at the forefront of my mind.
But if you're writing about them, it's probably, I mean, you're either going to release them or you're going to be able to use them in a productive way. Right.
Yeah.
So there's sort of no downside.
Yeah. I guess I don't know how to really make things productive. I can make anything counterproductive. I could be in med school going backwards. I know I could.
You're like, no, we have to do full blood transfusions whenever someone has a cold. That's just how it goes.
I make everything way more difficult than it has to be. I think I was actually saying that on the last podcast, which anyway.
Is that a side effect of Elixir?
Effexor.
That's what I meant.
I like that. Well, that's funny you said Elixir because my niece is named Alexa.
Oh yeah, that's where I got it from. The device.
I should call her Elixir because she's kind that's of great. Like crazy, like a drug would be, because she's just a nutty girl.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But no, I haven't been on the Effexor in a while now. I went off of it, I think, in like July or September of last year or August.
Congrats.
Yeah.
It's pretty major.
Yeah.
How long did it take for all the side effects to go away?
A pretty long time. So I had the zaps for many, 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 many months. And even now I'll have one, like one a week. It's super random. And I don't know if it's more like, you know, when you get the chills and you just kind of just get them and then they come and go. It's like once a week I'll get like a zzz. And I don't know if that's just normal, if I should still be feeling that this many months later. But so that took me a really long time to get over like the worst part of it. And then I went through this weird phase where I became very moody, super moody. And I'm not a moody type of person. I'll get moody if people are being dicks or something like that. But generally, I'm not just like shifting in moods and snapping at my family members, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, I was super moody. And then I was just really depressed. So I like these were little phases. And then I was very numb, which was weird because people normally say when they get off their antidepressants, like they can cry again. I couldn't cry. It was really weird. And
could
now
you
I'm
cry when you were on it? Sorry.
Yes,
didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, I could. It was weird. I liked Effexor, to be honest with you. And I really, if I go back on an antidepressant, I'll probably go back on it. The side effect that it gave me that drove me crazy was really bad night sweats. So I would just wake up in like a puddle of sweat.
No way.
Yeah. And then it would be really miserable because I would wake up super wet and freezing, but sweating at the same time because I was freezing from sitting in water. You know what I mean? And like the air is now getting cold. So I wake up and I'm freezing. I have the chills, like goosebumps. All the hair is growing back on my legs. Do you get that when you shave and then you get the goosebumps, your hair grows back on your leg? This is a random aside.
No, but I did laser on my legs, so.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I don't mean to humble brag, but.
Damn.
Yeah.
And it worked?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to laser my legs.
It's it's the most empowering experience. Yeah. There are a couple spots they missed, so I still shave a couple spots, but yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. You should do it if you can. It's
me shaving a couple spots would still be like someone else shaving an entire leg. That's how hairy my legs
really?
Are.
Really? Yeah. I was pretty hairy. My family's Middle Eastern, so.
Yeah. I'm Sicilian.
Oh, okay.
So
there
it's
you
like
go. Yeah. Same thing.
Pretty gross.
Yeah. I have so much. Oh, well, at least you have a law on your head too. So do I.
Yeah, I know. I mean, at least it evens out somewhat, but. Going back to panic attacks, I'm sorry. I always
kind of
go on random.
Leg hair tangents?
Always. Mm-hmm. Back hair tangents.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, before I go back onto it, how many times did you have to do the laser?
A few. Yeah, several.
Okay. Several
I did because I have like really dark kind of thick hair.
And that's a lot of space. That must have hurt.
It did hurt. It was a long time ago too when I think it was probably even less advanced as it is now.
Yeah. I think honestly, I laser my legs, no longer depressed.
that's where it all lies.
Yes. It's I'm a hairy kid. I remember when my mom told I was in fourth grade and I was really young, but I wanted to shave my legs. It was like they were so hairy and I already was so uncomfortable with everything about myself that I just wanted to shave my legs. And my mom was like, no, you can't. She's like, once you start, this is, you know, the rest of your life. And then I just hounded her. And finally she was like, fine. And she let me shave my legs when I was what are you in fourth grade? Like 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've been shaving since I was 10. And I think my happiness maybe went up a notch when I started shaving.
Yeah, I think that's kind of when I did too.
Really? That's so young.
It's really young.
If I had a 10-year-old daughter, I'd be like, you're not shaving your fucking legs.
Really? I'd get them started at like 6. Just boost your self-esteem now. Yeah, why wait?
Start doing their makeup. You're like, ah, I can't look at you like this.
Yeah. Yeah. God, just horrid.
So pale.
Yeah, I remember there were kids in my grade who like did their makeup and everything that young. And
wow.
It was freaky.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't like
young.
It. Yeah. But I think I got started too late. I had my
makeup?
With everything. Like my awkward phase lasted literally from 10 to 20.
Really?
Oh yeah. I had braces twice. I was overweight.
Really?
Yeah.
You were overweight?
Yeah. Nobody ever believes me.
You're tiny.
I can show you pictures. I have stretch marks. I can show you stretch marks.
So this is why you have a good personality, because you were like chubby and like race face.
And had no self-esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I it's still in your head, though. Like, were you ever fat or no?
No, but I had a crossed eye.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you just got that surgery thing?
I got a surgery, but it still will cross if I don't have my contacts in.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wait, or contacts prevent cross-eyed?
It's not like it prevents it. So basically what I have is called accommodative esotropia, and the word accommodative.
It sounds really glamorous.
It is. It's super like it goes to the Emmys every year. It wins usually.
It thinks it's better than everybody.
Oh, totally.
Okay.
It's totally a bitch. But the accommodative word in it, so it's accommodative esotropia. It's basically your eye is trying, it can't see straight and it's trying so hard. So it overcompensates and all of its muscle is trying to focus. So because it's trying to focus, then it doesn't have enough strength to stay straight. Or something. So when I have contacts in it, that eliminates the need for my eye to work so hard to focus and it allows it to stay straight.
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, super crazy.
I always like say I wish I lived in like 1920, but I'm like not if it was actually me because I'd be 1920 with a crossed eye.
Right.
Because I was born in the 80s. There was, you know,
yeah,
there was an operation I could get.
Shit.
Right.
Oh, that's insane. Mm-hmm. That's really creepy.
Yeah. It's like,
I mean, creepy that like it'll just happen if you don't like constantly take care of it.
Yeah. And it's made me very paranoid. And so growing up, my doctor allowed me to get contacts when I was 11, but from the age of 3 until 11, I had a crossed eye, but I would have glasses, which would also hold it straight, but I would take the glasses off to go swimming with other kids or something. And my eye would just go boom straight in. So
oh,
I was always trying to hide myself and I was always very uncomfortable. And so it's like, basically I was fat, but not.
So this is a weird question, but do you wake up and think that your eye is crossed?
Yes.
Every day?
Not every day because I'm not that paranoid about it and I do trust my glasses and my contacts, but occasionally I do get freaked out and this morning it'll get in my head. And if it gets in my head, then I can't straighten my eye. So if I put my contacts in and think about my eye staying crossed, like it will stay crossed. And so, and it's like a psychological thing. It's almost like I'm like not allowing it to just, you know, be affected by the contact or something. And it won't stay like that. It will adjust. But the minute I put my contact in, my eye will straighten. But when I think about it, it will stay in. And then I get freaked. And I'm like, oh my God, this is permanent.
Yeah.
And I was, as a little kid, I was always really, really afraid that once I got older and my muscles would start weakening, that my muscle again in my eye would weaken and I'd be an old lady with a crossed eye, which I mean would kind of be badass in a way, but
that's one way to get people off your lawn. Yeah. I mean, if it ever comes to that,
I get someone off someone else's lawn because I'd be looking in the wrong direction.
Anyone's lawn.
Get off that lawn. But it's like, over in the left corner.
Anybody's lawn. Yeah. You just point at anyone's. I mean, I would listen to you. If it ever comes to that, I got you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it gave me that kind of like sense of being a chubby kid or something like
well,
that.
Well, yeah. Like the reason I asked that is because I wake up every day like thinking that I got fat overnight.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you have nightmares about it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm definitely like still really insecure. And
so when did you lose weight? What 20? Point did you hit? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did
I went through a whole
hippie
thing.
Phase it? Yeah. Skinny?
Yeah.
What did you do exactly? Listening might want to know.
Oh yeah. Most of it was diet. Honestly, I was just eating like shit. And then I changed my diet just for my mood because I kept hearing and reading about how much your diet really does affect your mind. Like if you eat shitty food, you're going to produce shitty thoughts and feelings. And like
and
after
shitty shit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like I would eat a salad and like just feel good.
Right.
And then, but like eat fries, even though it might taste better or what I want, it's what I wanted. I just felt like shit. So I really just stopped eating badly just because of how I was feeling when I ate badly.
Did you feel like shit more because you wanted to, be skinny and you were nervous that you just ruined that, or did you actually feel like shit because it was actual garbage in your body?
It was definitely both.
Yeah,
it was definitely both, because I started being more careful about my diet and losing weight a little bit, but even when I was getting skinnier, but even when I would eat badly, just my mood would end up in the garbage,
right?
So finally I kind of did this extreme diet, which I'm still on. Is I've been vegan for
oh you're vegan
yeah and it's really not even like a moral thing. It's just, I feel so much better. Like, and I've been off sugar for like a year and a half or something like that.
Oh my God.
It's pretty extreme.
It's really extreme.
Yeah.
What's your vice? What do you do wrong?
everyone asks
ping
me
pong?
That. Yeah. Ping pong podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
tell me about it.
My dog. No, I mean, cause I don't really drink either. Once in a while I'll drink, but honestly, like when I meditate, I really don't feel the need to escape all that much. But when I want to, I mean, I've done psychedelics and I really enjoy those once in a while, because I've even written on them, and some of my favorite jokes I've written,
really,
like on acid.
Really?
yeah.
Oh, that's cool, because I would imagine writing on a psychedelic would be like having a dream, and in your dream you thought you had a good joke,
right?
And then you wake up and you're like, wait, but that didn't make any sense. That's cool, they actually make sense.
Yeah, well, so even if it doesn't verbatim make sense, I can see where it was coming from. And it's usually something that's linked to something that I've already been aware of, yeah. If that makes sense. Yeah. Even my sober self knew.
So do you think that the diet and stuff has affected your depression? Because you said it was when you were younger. So do you think that if you continue to eat crummy right now, you might have depression?
Oh, yeah.
Be on antidepressants?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. If I don't take specific supplements, I get depressed. If I like even protein, if I don't have like I have protein shakes every day, but if I miss a day, I just feel really weak and tired.
Mm-hmm.
And like that feels like shit. And
like,
then I just feel like, yeah, then I just feel really powerless. And then that easily blends into my emotional state. And I'm like, oh, I'm so weak in general, you know, and that's awful. So I'm really diligent about like the vitamins I take, and I have to be.
Do you ever slip up and eat crummy, or are you always good?
No, I think I'm pretty good. I
Ew,
mean,
oh, I hate you.
No. I mean, like, I'll have like fries, you
okay.
know, but sugar stuff, just sugar makes my mood go fucking nuts. And I didn't used to be so sensitive to it. I don't know what happened, but oh man, it would be like, I would have it and then I would be really like shaky and up and kind of manic. And then I would crash really hard, but not be able to fall asleep. And then the next day I would just be depressed. It was weird.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was just like, it's just not worth
yeah.
it. And then I stopped craving it after like a week of not having it.
Yeah. Well, it's good, because I almost wish sugar did bad things to me. I mean, maybe it does and I'm not aware of it, but if it did bad things to me, then I would be motivated.
Well, a lot of us are addicted to it and don't even realize that we are.
Yeah.
So it kind of we'll have it and it'll just kind of keep us afloat. So we don't feel the big ups and downs. Right. You know what I mean?
So when you eat French fries, do you eat French fries from wherever, or do they have to be fried in like a certain type of oil?
I mean, I pretend to not think about it. You know, like I pretend that it's just like, oh, it's fries, whatever. But I know I've probably had it in like the same oil as something else. But I only eat fries if I really need something. Like if I'm at a comedy club and I'm starving and there's nothing.
Right.
I'll just do it. I try to not like freak myself out about it.
So you don't, because the problem with stuff like that for me is I get so bogged down by the overwhelmingness. Like you said, when you have your panic attacks, it's like, now I have to do this and I can't do this. And that means this. When I set rules for myself, all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I have to like live up to this rule. And then I basically choke, you know, and then I screw up even worse.
You're like, oh, I have no freedom. I can't do anything. Yeah. I can't enjoy my life.
I feel like a caged lion or something.
Yeah. Well, for sure. I mean, there are two things. One thing is, I slowly cut things out. I didn't just go from like meat eating to vegan.
Right.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, I'm going to stop red meat. Okay. I'm going to stop chicken. Okay. I'm going to stop milk.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to, and the more I learned about it, the more I was like, I don't really want to be eating meat.
Yeah.
And then I just noticed the difference so quickly that I just wanted to keep feeling good. So it wasn't like I was taking things away from my life. I was just on a path of feeling better.
Yeah. In a way, it was an addition. You were adding.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I really like never think about it. If you're not deficient in anything, like if you take your protein stuff, like you don't, I mean, I really don't miss meat. It's weird. I kept fish for a year. I loved that. Once in a while, I'll be like, damn, I kind of want some fish. But then I have like a protein shake and I'm fine. I have a sad ass protein shake and I'm okay.
Get a fish flavored protein. The world's grossest.
Yeah. Just throw an ahi into the blender.
So what is grocery shopping like if you're, cause I think grocery shopping when you eat like shit is a pain in the ass. I can't imagine.
Oh, it's so much easier.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, dude, I did it today. I got peanut butter because I put peanut butter in my shakes and it's delicious. I got frozen berries, almond milk.
See, I don't love sweet stuff. Like I don't like, that's even better. I don't like, but I need that like savory. I don't feel satisfied unless I have something that's very dense and like spicy or like fattening or.
Great. I mean, I eat vegan Thai food all the time, vegan Chinese food.
And it's not a pain to find because you're in LA, right?
Yeah, like that's part of it. Yeah. But most Asian restaurants have, actually Italian restaurants too. I mean, it's so easy to just be like, can I have like spaghetti with?
I'm Sicilian. I can't do that. They kick me out.
I know.
They say, get out of here.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Come here, buddy. That's my antidepressant too, the dog. He's really like, he changed my life too, legitimately, because I have to go for walks all the time.
That's why I ended up getting my dog.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I'll foster and see what it does for my mood because I didn't have a dog. I didn't have anything to go outside for and I would just be inside all day, every day. And so that was my motive was like, well, number one, obviously I would love a dog. I love dogs. But, and the reason I kind of stuttered saying that is because I was just talking about eating meat. And so I'm like, well, I mean, I love dogs. So I was like, okay, well, foster, see if that lifts my mood by having to have no choice but to go outside and get some sunshine. And it really did help me at first. But for me, then I lose that, you know, it's like it helped me for a little while. And then I don't know if because he became a, you know, a murderer, essentially, he tries to kill me every day. I don't know if maybe that's why I've lost the
Yeah,
the
I could say that would probably do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so fun to walk with just because everything's just like, it's a blast to him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, awesome.
I found a dog, not similar totally in looks, but in size to yours, in September of last year. And I kept her. I found her on the street and it's a whole story, but I won't tell it, but I did not want to give her to like some random person. And I had to bring her to the shelter cause she did have a microchip. So the owner didn't come. So I went in and adopted her, but then was like, but I can't have two dogs. And so I brought her home with me to meet my family. And I was just hoping that maybe one of them would take her because she was like the sweetest. And my brother ended up keeping her, which was awesome because he struggles a little bit with depression. And he has said, I've done so much better since I got the dog.
It's amazing.
He's like, this is the best little buddy I could have ever asked for.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a good dog will change everything. A bad dog sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm like, can we switch, please?
My mom definitely has like mood swings and And we kind of share him. I mean, when I go out, I drop him at my mom's house. And when I'm so happy for her when she gets to take him out, because I just notice her mood improves so
really?
Much. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So it's all these kind of like, I'm not being anti-medicine because I think medication really does help. But I think all of these little things like that you're talking about are really, really helpful for people listening if they want to try to change their mood or get out of a depression without medication.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't totally think it's 100% possible to just cure yourself by, you know, going outside. But all of these little steps.
No, but there are two ways. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a stepping stone. And especially if you are taking medication and it's not totally helping, adding in these things.
Yeah. It'll just help everything.
Yeah.
I mean, exercise is huge.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's like all the stuff like, ah.
It's so cliche.
Why couldn't be playing video games be huge?
I know. Well, sometimes it can be.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
If you can like,
if you're a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah. Well, if you just like, if that's your game and you can just zone out while doing it. I mean, sort of like ping pong, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's really, I got this table just because it's so fun. And when friends come over and you just like play, it's like stuff like that where you get anything to take your mind off of.
Yeah, I know. I talk a lot on the show about flow, which is doing stuff like ping pong or like video games or whatever, where you're just so in a zone. It's so therapeutic. You check out of your brain for a little bit. You're not thinking about how uncomfortable your pants feel or who said what about you. You really just, for the moment, it's like a meditation without meditating.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. Meditation really just means doing one thing at a time, for the way I was taught.
Oh.
So it's like, it's just being really present with what you're doing. So you can be like meditating while you're tying your shoes. If you're 100% focused on tying your shoes, then that's a beautiful practice. How often do we really do that?
Yeah.
Like whenever we're in traffic, even we're texting or we're listening to something, you know, we're always in a million places at once. So
yeah,
typical meditation is you sitting there not doing anything. And that's awesome too, to know how to do that. But you can find like little meditative moments in your everyday life.
Yeah.
And I try to do that too. Like if I'm watching something, just like really watch it. Don't be on your phone or your computer, which I'm really bad at doing. But like, I try to remind myself of that all the time.
Well, I liked the guy on Headspace saying, you know, it's okay if your mind's wandering, and don't be hard on yourself. And I found that really helpful because I get very hard on myself. The few times I've tried to meditate, I'm like, oh, I'm thinking about stuff. And all of a sudden I'm back to, you know, wondering why, you know, so-and-so said this about my show or whatever, you know. So when he gave the permission to be able to screw up a little bit too, that was super helpful.
Yeah, it's about like as little resistance as possible. Because if you're hard on yourself, then that just creates another conflict that you have to deal with.
That's my thing at the gym too. As little resistance as possible.
Exactly. So you get it.
Yeah, totally. So on the show, we do these segment-y things. And usually I explain them before we do the show, before we start taping, but I forgot to tell you. So I'm going to do a few segments. And the first one, everyone knows them, so I'm just going to explain them and make people listen to the explanation for them. So the first one I usually do is called Who's Sadder? And we compare.
I almost just spit my tea. Who's Sadder?
And we compare.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to compare people and debate and or overanalyze and like figure out why so-and-so might be sadder than the other.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay. Like you or me?
Well,
like
yeah.
People
no,
we don't know.
Yeah.
All
right. We usually do celebrities, but you can do me and you. And I think I win already because you should have your shit together way more than I do.
I think I've just gotten good at convincing people that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know.
See, I can't convince people and or get my shit together.
Okay, so maybe I do win.
Or so
you
win. No, I win.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I positively lose.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in the best way ever.
All right, cool.
So this Who's Sadder is comparing Meghan Markle. So she's marrying Prince Harry.
Oh, right. Duh.
This weekend or something.
I always forget her name.
Good. You should.
Because I'm like,
her.
I really don't. I don't care.
I don't either. The only reason I think about it is because it's plastered everywhere, always.
Right.
And I actually I posted on Instagram today. Do you think Meghan Markle, like I did a little poll. I was like, do you think Meghan Markle really wants to be a princess and that's why she's marrying him? Or does she really want to be Harry's wife? Like, which one? Because I really don't trust her. There's something about her. And I actually have met her in person, which I'll get into in a second.
Oh, okay.
But who's sadder, Meghan Markle for not being Kate Middleton, the wife of Prince William.
Yes, that one I know.
Right. Or her ex-husband. So Meghan Markle used to be married.
That's funny. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Hmm. I mean, her ex-husband. Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're a guy. Well, if you're anybody, you're going to be comparing yourself to the new person.
Yeah. Like, the new person she's marrying is a prince.
Right. And if she's actually sad, there are way more things to be happy about.
Right, right.
Even if she is sad.
I would say, honestly, okay, so the reason I am asking this ish is because I met her when I first moved here. I worked for like 2 weeks as an intern at Underground Films, which is a production company. And there's a guy there named Trevor Engelson. And I remember he had a fiance, and she came in and I didn't like her, and I got a super bad vibe off her, and she seemed very insincere, and she seemed like she was using Trevor because he was like a producer and they were making films, and that was all I knew. I didn't know her name. I knew nothing about her. And I just remember going like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Meghan Markle. So she married the guy that I was interning for a little bit.
Got it.
They were married, I think, for like 2 years or something like that. And she kind of just left him out of the blue. The reason I want to say that she's sadder that she's not Kate, because I see her so badly, like wanting that crown, like wanting to be the girl, where she'll never be Kate Middleton. She's fine. She's whatever. She has an amazing life, way better than 100% of the world. But I think she wants the top. I can like see it bleeding out of her pores.
Yeah, but who doesn't?
But not in a malicious way. Like, I would never marry someone to become a princess.
Yeah, neither would I.
Like, that'd be I mean, that's an extreme version of being.
She literally got as close as you can get, though.
Yeah. But so. I mean, who knows? They could be totally in love, but this is my snarky side, my judgy side.
Right.
Saying that from the moment, like, the literally brief moment that I've met her or knew her, I felt nothing sincere about her. And that was 10 years before ever I knew she'd be a princess.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I realized that because I looked her up on Wikipedia and I was super bored. I'm like, who's this Meghan Markle? Like, I know she's an actress. I don't really know much about her. And it said ex-husband Trevor Engelson. And I was like, no. Oh my God. That was her.
Oh, that's crazy.
Holy shit. So yeah. All of a sudden it like hit me. I'm like, that's why I don't like her. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. So that must've been kind of validating for you.
Very validating.
It's kind of like when someone you hated in high school turns out like to have a shitty life and you're like, ha.
Mm-hmm. That's,
I always knew it.
Yeah. That's why I'm on Facebook. Yeah, to confirm that always.
Just for vengeance.
Yes. So I think the ex-husband, because I had met, knew him briefly, knew him a little bit, I think he's not as sad as her not being Kate Middleton. So I think she's sadder.
Really?
Yeah. So I think we're going to be, we're going to have a tie here.
Huh.
I think I just see that desire bleeding from her. So Trevor.
So maybe she wasn't even that awesome of a, it depends if he's still in love with her or not.
I think what's hard has got to be his ex-wife is plastered all over everything right now because she's marrying Prince Harry. But I don't think he's actually sad about not being with her.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know her, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And I did see pictures of his new girlfriend or something, and she looks very cool. And I'm like, okay, he's fine.
Oh.
But then she must
see, this
sad.
Is all information you should have given me before we just going to throw That's in
true.
Facts.
That's true. Here's the science test.
Yeah.
Give it back. Okay. Now, by the way.
Now I'm going to give you all the answers. Mm-hmm. Now, what's your answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so that, though, brings me to, I think his girlfriend might be sad because he went with a normal person and she's like, oh, I'm just the normal person, whereas she went with a prince.
So now you're changing the whole question. So it's who's sadder or sadder?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a deep, we're getting deep levels
who's
here.
Who's sadder and sadder and sadder. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That one, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I feel like she'd be like kind of bummed.
Maybe. But I'm just waiting for you to tell me that you know her too.
Well, actually I know her, the girlfriend's father's sister's brother. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I'm so gullible. If you tell me anything, if you're like, yeah, no, I live here, I'd be like, oh, we're in my place right now. I should probably tell everyone that.
Yeah. By the way. Okay. So I think we're tied. And now we're going to do, would you rather, you struggled with panic attacks. Would you rather have panic attacks but $20 million handed to you right now, or never have a panic attack again and super struggle with money?
I mean, how often are these panic attacks?
They're frequent. Where it's a thing. It plagues you.
I would take panic attacks and $20 million.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause now I'm getting better at just handling them.
Right.
And especially if I have money, I can get help to handle them.
All the help.
Yeah.
Literally all the help.
20 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, with that, you could probably buy a new personality with that amount of money.
Sleep in doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or sleep in monk. Like the guy you could buy, the Headspace guy.
Yeah.
And he could come over and just.
Sure.
Chill you out.
Right. So you know him too?
Oh, yeah. I know his brother's wife's ex-wife.
Right. Now, especially because he's a Duke, you know, that whole side of the family.
Right.
Yeah. What about you? What would you do? Like if depression, struggling with depression?
Depression versus like $20 million.
Yeah.
If I would definitely take the $20 million
yeah.
with depression. Although depression is effing terrible. It's literally the worst. But I've struggled so badly with money that I can see the bad sides of both. And I feel like if I didn't have money, I'd probably end up getting depression anyway because I was struggling so badly with money.
Right.
So it'd be like, no, I'm going to be noble and not take the money and have good mental health. And then all of a sudden, because I can't buy groceries, I just just deteriorate into like very extreme depression.
Yeah. That makes total sense. If we're feeling these things anyway, we might as well just take the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. If someone didn't take the money, I wouldn't trust them. It's almost like a litmus test for something.
Yeah, you'd be like, I bet you already have $20 million. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something weird happening
here. Right.
I see through you, buddy. Okay, so I forgot to do this before I got into the segments, but I wanted to talk about PMS, PMDD stuff real quick. So you don't have, do you have super extreme mood swings and stuff around your period?
I used to have it way worse. all these things we're talking about used to be way worse for me, but
it's crazy. It probably is. You're right. Your lifestyle changed.
My lifestyle changed, but also my attitude changed. Like I went through a really hard period in my teens, but then I went through a really hard period like in my early 20s, and it was hard because I mean I know the hormones shift around then, but. I just went through like a lot of just life changes. I ended a long relationship. I started a new one kind of too quickly. And then it was really kind of turbulent and that threw me through a bunch of stuff. I mean, this career path we chose is awful and just a lot of things kind of hit at the same time. So I was feeling it really bad around then. But going through all that stuff also made me, I think, I'd like to hope more compassionate for when people are struggling just because I've struggled a lot.
Yeah.
When my attitude changes towards other people, then it changes for myself too. Cause I kind of let myself off the hook for a lot of stuff. I'm like, it's okay, dude.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, like you just said, you're basically empathetic toward it. And I think it's like, I always say everyone should wait tables once so that they stop being so hypercritical with their waitress or waiter. And, I feel like it's the same thing with depression or panic attacks, like have at least one panic attack or like at least a week of feeling shitty before you're like, oh, depression isn't a thing. You know?
Oh yeah. No. Like if they were struggling the way people who were clinically depressed struggle, they would never say that.
Yeah. And like dudes like with PMS and PMDD, like I would love for you to bleed profusely out of a hole.
Oh my God.
Your body.
I've tried to explain PMS to guys and the best thing I can come up with, it feels like your worst hangover and you're hungry, but full at the same time.
Yeah.
And like, and you can't explain what's wrong and everyone says they want to help and they don't or won't or can't.
Yeah.
And like, you're not speaking the same. It's like, but they're trying to speak to you in like French and you're like trying to communicate in English.
Yeah.
And you just can't.
Yeah.
It's just a whole, I swear to God, if we could help you guys help us, we would.
Right. Help me help you.
Yeah. We really would. We're doing the best we can.
Yeah. Well, I currently have my period to get super personal. And usually I'm actually very impressed. So I want to report this for people who listened to the previous episode, so the episode on before this one, last week I talked about being positive and I'm making changes to be more positive, to try to see things in a different light, to make sure that I'm exercising and making better decisions, drinking kombucha, just doing shit that I normally am not doing. And very interestingly, this month, I didn't have a crazy dip before I got my period, which normally, before I get my period, like 2 or 3 days before, I am just like in a, like the deepest hole that I would never be motivated enough to dig. Like they're just so deep. And this month, I didn't even know I was getting my period because I hadn't hit that hole. And all of a sudden, I just was like, oh, I have my period. So I thought that was really interesting that I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but because the past now 2 weeks, I mean, that's not that long, but I've just like been exercising. I've been eating better. I've been drinking a lot of water and just making all these changes. And boom, I didn't have that dip.
It's insane what a difference it makes. I mean, for me, when I meditate, that all of a sudden I was noticing my PMS kind of like almost went away. And it wasn't because the hormones weren't there. It was because meditating for me puts a space between me and whatever is happening, either in my mind or just out there in the world. So like if things happen, you just kind of shake it off. I just had a work trip in San Francisco, which by the way is where I got all these bug bites from.
I couldn't even see them.
Oh, okay. I was like, if any, I'm so self-conscious about it.
Oh my God, I see them.
Dude, they're nuts.
What? Why?
Yeah, because this hotel we stayed at was a disaster because it was just close to the client. I work at this ad company. I write and produce commercials for them.
Okay.
And cool. And it was just, I don't know, I feel like I look like a leper.
Did they put you up in like a shack?
Basically. Might as well have been.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Did you tell the hotel?
I've never been compelled to write a Yelp review until they.
I think you've earned the Yelp review.
You do, right?
You've earned it with those bites.
I know, man. It's all over my back. Oh my like nuts. I know.
Holy.
I was like, I'll show you my stretch marks until I remembered that my whole back was like all bitten up. But yeah, so, and there was a moment where the client got a little testy with me. And
like, listen, I have bites all over my
guys. I know, right? Like we have bigger problems. But I got snapped at and like I kind of forgot that I got snapped at because I meditate every day. So I sort of just like shook it off. And then when the workday was over, our crew was like, yo, are you okay? That she like, and I was like, oh shit, yeah. That's right.
That's
yeah, that
awesome.
Was like kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I mean it's amazing. Like I don't even
Just got hit by a bus. What? Oh, yes. Oh, my God. That was kind of a big bus.
Yeah. It was a bus. You could call it a bus, but I have all these medications. Yeah. I don't know. It makes it so easy for me to just like shake shit off.
Wow. Maybe it hurts your memory.
Yeah. Like trauma in the, like how they say that circumcision is actually traumatic for the baby.
Right.
Though.
Right. Right.
Is that true?
I wouldn't imagine.
How would you know?
But
I don't know why I decided to ask.
Well,
you.
There wasn't. I know. Well, I'm like, as someone who has a dip, I saw recently this news story of this woman saying that you should get consent from babies before you change their diapers. So you should ask them if you're going to chop off their penis tip, if that's okay too.
Wait.
Basically, she's saying we're trying to set a environment of consent, like. Obviously, the baby's not going to say, yes, you can take my diaper off, but you wait for that reaction from your baby and you indicate to them that their decision matters in this.
Really?
Yeah. Which is, I mean.
I have no idea how I feel about that right now.
Right. I mean, it's like you can put music on on your stomach when you're pregnant and think it affects your baby. Maybe asking it to change its diaper affects it too. But if we've made it this far as a species without asking babies if they needed their diaper changed, I think we're good. I think we can hold off on the question until they're six.
Yeah.
But they should obviously be wearing diapers when they're six. So, I mean, then you got a problem.
Wow. Wait, I'm going to think about that. That makes me like so curious.
You can Google it. It's all over. Like people, you know, on Facebook, people are like, everyone shares it. Like, oh my God, oh my God.
Well, I know that the pregnancy really affects how the baby comes out. And they even say that like a lot of the way the baby is born, like the speed in which it's born, has a lot to do with its attitude about life.
What's that sport, ice, when you're on the ice and you the
curling?
No, when you're in like the thing, like the there's three of them sitting together and they go really fast.
Oh, and they wiggle,
sledding kind of,
and they wiggle down the thing in the tube.
Yeah.
Oh no, what is that called?
I feel like that's how I came out of my mom's vagina,
really fast,
just like soup. Because I just come out like anxious and just like can't settle down.
Do things seem easy to you in life or do they seem really hard?
Hard. Well, that's true. Then if I shot out like that, it would have been easy. seems.
So you don't know how fast you were born?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, I know my mom's labor. She went in the hospital at 3 a.m. and I was born at 11 a.m.
That's not that bad. Yeah. But that's still a little while. I was born in like 20 minutes.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. So you were that.
Yeah. I was quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy.
I'm trying to think of the name of that stupid sport.
I know what you're
Cool Runnings is not that, but there's a movie. So I'm going to Google Cool Runnings. To
get that. No, I know what you're talking about though. It's in the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
And they're in like an ice canoe.
Yes. It's an ice canoe. Yeah. Silly. I love that phrase.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Okay.
Bobsledding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bobsleds.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, when, so apparently, I mean, I don't know if it's proven or not, but I just read up on it, that the pregnancy has a lot to do with the pregnancy and the way the baby is born has a lot to do with how they turn out.
Yeah.
So,
my mom, you know, I mean, my mom always says, you're just like how you were when you were born. Your brother's the same way when he was born. Like my brother was very difficult and took a long time. And my sister is in real life, just super easygoing, everything. She's just very consistent. That's how she was born. I was born in like a dramatic fashion. I'm very dramatic, you know, like,
well,
so,
there, I mean, yeah. It could be, I mean, it's interesting, right? Like I kind of have my mind made up that I don't want kids, but if I ever did have them, I would kind of just want to adopt. But then I remember, I don't know what the pregnancy was like with that kid. And like, I really only trust myself to meditate every day and eat the way I would want the baby to eat. And I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's scary.
It is scary. Yeah. It's a crapshoot anyway, but
yeah. I mean, people are terrible either way, whether they're yours or they're not.
Just, that's true.
They're going to suck no matter what.
Okay, cool. You just eased my mind.
Well, I'm almost so, up until this month, but I've been so struggling with my period that, I've been like, you know what? I wouldn't mind being pregnant just to have 9 months from not having my period. I will suffer 18 years to not have to suffer for 9 months with my period right now.
It's pretty terrible.
So PMDD stands for premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is just a severe, disabling, horrific version of PMS. And PMS is already bad. So PMDD is even worse. So imagine what that is. And essentially, it's like when you're having your period, you have a drop in your serotonin levels. And really, the treatment is really just everything that we are talking about, like exercising, managing your stress, supplements, birth control pills actually help because they can change your cycle a little bit. I always, even on my antidepressant, would get really low around my period.
Yeah, I was on the pill for like 10 years and then I got off and I noticed a huge difference. I'm happy I'm not on the pill anymore, but man, the PMS got worse when I got off of it.
Wow.
Yeah. But I do take the supplement that helps me so much. It's just magnesium, but it's powdered magnesium. And magnesium is calming for your body and mind, and we're all deficient in it, everybody. So when you take it, you naturally kind of calm down. But this kind is especially good for like muscle relaxing. So it's amazing with cramps, but it literally just calms you down. You just make water like warm. It doesn't have to be boiling or anything. You just drop like a teaspoon or two in and you just, I swear to God, and it fizzes up and it tastes delicious and then it calms down and then you drink it and it's just you're like smooth sailing. It gets rid of cramps, and you need it anyway.
What was your process when you're doing your little hippie phase to find all this out? Like, how did you discover magnesium? How did you discover the other one you were talking about earlier with the L?
It all started with the
whatever that was.
L-tyrosine.
Yes.
I started just going to yoga and it was so, I was like, yoga's stupid. It's bullshitty. I hate everyone who does it. And I had a boyfriend at the time who dragged me to this yoga studio and,
better than just being dragged.
Yeah, by just a random person.
Yeah, because for a second I thought, like, he dragged me. Like, okay, that's kind of, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, like, right. Me too.
Yeah.
to the yoga studio. Yeah.
Oh, which by the way, I loved your joke, and I think I might have said it on the podcast, and I credited you, but you said something about, like, me, because you posted on Instagram, me too, you have to know how to spell it.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
yeah, so what do I say? I always forget to tell that joke. I said it, like, a few times. You shouldn't post a Me Too story if you don't know that two has two O's in it.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I was definitely worried about offending people, and I'm sure I did.
Yeah, I know, but who cares?
But whatever. They're going to get offended anyway, so.
Yeah.
So I went to this yoga place that was actually exactly the kind of yoga I was hoping to find, which was just, like, unpretentious, and they played loud hip-hop, and it was, like, really sweaty and felt great, and cool. You could just do it at your own speed, whatever. And I swear, in that day, that guy and I broke up. It was the weirdest thing.
Like,
and it wasn't a good relationship.
Not just in your mind.
No. Like... We broke up that day after class.
Wow.
Yeah. And I, all of a sudden, everything that I needed to change in my life sort of just started happening on its own.
Yeah.
Like, that relationship ended. I started going to yoga consistently. And then all of a sudden I was like, eating meat kind of doesn't seem like a good idea anymore. Stopped eating meat. And then I stopped the dairy thing. And then that's when I was like, I had to search, you know, to see how I could stay healthy as a vegan.
So were you talking to other people in classes saying like, what do you take? Do you do anything? Or yeah. Was it just internet based?
Yeah. And then I just did a lot of research. You know, I would make sure that I read a lot of what medical doctors say. I wouldn't just like go on some blog and just trust whoever.
Yeah.
But then I also just went on how I'm feeling, you know, like that's the biggest tell. And I was feeling really good and energetic. And then I got my blood taken and all my vitals were good. So I was like, I don't really need to eat meat. Like, I'll just keep it out. And then I got really into it and took a yoga teacher training. So then I got certified to teach yoga. And with that, just body and mind go hand in hand. But it really becomes apparent in yoga because there are certain either stretches or meditative practices that really just put everything together. And then I was noticing that I felt like really in my body, and then I would just learn more about it. And
it sounds like you really got momentum going, just like the bobsled.
Yeah,
just
the
like
wiggle.
The ice canoe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just things almost just happened on their own. And then
taking
it just...
one step. People don't really realize how... one tiny step, like you went to that yoga class that one day
and I didn't want to go,
right? And it wasn't like your intention to, gonna go back to saying this, climb a mountain.
Yeah,
it was just to go to a yoga class to
yeah
start helping yourself a little bit, and then all of a sudden all these things started falling into place.
Yeah, I listened to this podcast once called The Art of Charm. My friend,
oh,
actually,
I know Jordan.
Yeah, oh, you do?
Yeah, I'm gonna be on a show in June.
Wait, stop, really? My brother writes for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I've known Jordan. My
Wait, what's your brother's name?
Gabriel.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
Mizrahi. Yeah, so Jordan, I've known him for like almost 10 years or something.
Wow.
Yeah. He's so great.
He's
I love
really
him.
Great.
He used to say that he would like to start running. It seems like such a big thing to wake up and start running. He goes, but just put on your tennis shoes and go down and go outside. If you don't want to run at that point, then just don't. Like, right. Let yourself off the hook and come back upstairs. Most of the time, though, you're going to end up running because you're like, I already got up and
right,
put my shoes
might
on.
As well.
Yeah. But if you don't, that's fine, too. And it's really just about like showing up for that first part.
Yeah. And it'll make you feel good about yourself. The other day when I used to work out, I would love to do sprinting intervals. But something happened where I damaged my IT band, which is on the side of your knee. And it's been damaged for like 2 years, and it really bums me out because when I do work out, I love to get that adrenaline going with the sprinting, but I can't because all of a sudden I feel like I can't put weight on my knee because of this IT band stuff, which I'm also has been part of my positivity thing. I'm now working on it because it's like a lot of stretching and rolling and strengthening your quads and whatever. So I was at the gym recently, and all I can really do is either like ride the bike or do the elliptical. I chose to walk, which probably isn't great for my IT band, but I was like, I haven't been working out in so long. I don't want to do this. I set my goal to be 45 minutes. So I made it 35 minutes, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to allow myself to stop right now. I'm going to go stretch, and I'm going to come back and finish those fucking 10 minutes. And so I went, stretched, and then I was like, I'm here. If I don't get back to do the last 10 minutes, it's only 45 minutes of walking. It's not that intense. If I don't do the last 10 minutes, I'm going to feel like such shit about myself. And so it was like a little bit of a guilt trip. But then after I did it, I felt so much better that I did it because I could have just walked out, you know.
And it makes it better for it easier for you to do it
Go
the next
again.
Time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll have more of a positive association with it. Like, okay, I did what my goal was set to be. I'm not like, I, you know, cheated again. Not cheated, but like I... you know, took the shortcut or whatever.
Yeah.
So it lifts up whatever little, you know, whatever little goodness is in my brain, the tiny bit, it lifts it up a little bit.
That's
doing
awesome.
Those types of things.
Yeah. Little, I mean, yeah, you could set little things for yourself. Like my house is a mess. Okay. Well, I'm just going to vacuum today. Like I'm not going to do any of the other stuff. Just vacuum. Like I do that all the time.
Well, that's me with my bed. I have to make my bed. Okay. So I, last segment, cause I kind of randomly went into segments and then came out, it's kind of a sad one. I really don't love like ending on this one, but
it's okay. We could talk about uplifting stuff like PMS afterwards.
Right. Compared to this, it is uplifting. Yeah. So F that shit. So this lead singer of Frightened Rabbit is a band I don't know. Do you know them?
I mean, I did because he died.
Yeah, so he died. Most likely, it was a suicide.
Aww.
And they found his body like 2 days after he went missing, but he's struggled with depression for a really long time. It's not been confirmed that it was a suicide, but he had a super long battle with anxiety, depression, and his family basically just in their statement said, alluding to that it was suicide because it's not been confirmed, but they said depression is a horrendous illness that does not give you any alert or indication as to when it will take hold of you. Scott battled bravely with his own issues for many years, and we are immensely proud of him for being so open with his struggles. So that kind of bummed me out. I mean, obviously it bummed me out, but the last part bummed me out because Stevie was so open with her struggles, but also took her own life. And so it's like being open, like I'm not, you know, I'm super open about it, but it helps. What's good about being open, it will help you, but it helps other people. But it's just, I wish it helped him more, and I wish it helped Stevie more, because, you know, Stevie and him couldn't have been more open about it, you know, publicly. So anyway, ending on a downer. Big one.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, I mean, it's like the chemical thing we were talking about. If it's chemical, I mean, the problem can probably only be treated, not cured, right? Or, I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. Maybe it can't be cured.
I don't think, I mean, in my opinion, obviously, I'm very far from a doctor.
Yeah.
In my opinion, based on my own experience with depression, I would say it never can be cured. I think it can only be managed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it can be cured in certain circumstances for someone like you. I think, like you said, your thing has been more anxiety, panic attack. My thing has been less panic attack, more depression, just like dark sadness. I'm doing okay, but I don't think in the past, I've had it since I was 18, I'm 35. I have never felt the weight lifted of depression since I've been 18, and I've been on medication. I've, you know, had successful moments and things feel good, but there's always an underlying current for me of depression. So it's like, I'm afraid that no matter how great my life is, and no matter how many, you know, different antidepressants I try, I'll always just underlying be sad. I'll never cure my depression. I can only manage it. But I do think for certain people, you can cure it.
Right. I mean, so it sort of seems like besides the point that he was open about it.
Yeah.
Because, sure, it can help. But, like, that has nothing to, I mean, not nothing to do with curing it. But, I mean, there are much bigger steps to take when it comes to, like, curing it, right?
Yeah. No, well, I hear people from this show, I get a lot of messages saying that people don't have anyone to talk to and that they're embarrassed to talk about it and they're hiding their depression, which honestly is so surprising to me because I've always just been such an open person that I'm like, well, why don't you just, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, why don't you just talk about it? But it's because not everyone's programmed the way I am.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of an ignorant thing for me to say. Talking about things really helps.
It does help. So it's just,
and but like it can't, but that alone won't cure it, right?
No, it's just
okay,
like,
I guess that's what I meant. I feel like an asshole.
No, it's okay. It's all right. Believe me, everything I say on the show, I'm an asshole. But it's like, it's so tragic that someone open about something then succumbs to that thing.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
I see. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I get it. Yeah. Now I kind of understand. Yeah. That sucks. I wish there were a way to help just because it's like, it's one of those things. It's just like the people, everyone involved is helpless. The people,
totally.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, there are things you can do, but really ultimately, like if you don't care, you don't care. And like, I mean, God, I've been around so many depressed people. I mean, and we're comedians, so like we hang out with those people all the time, and it's just like, all I want to do is help, but it's just sort of like,
you can't, no one can help you but you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can get help from people in terms of them maybe helping you find a doctor if you're feeling too, you know, like lost to be able to do that, like those little things, but ultimately no one can stop you from doing whatever it is you're going to do, which is really awful for everyone on the other side of things. But anyway,
no, I used to work at a crisis hotline.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And Yeah, so we had...
Can you tell me what it was?
Yeah, it was called Teen Line. It was when I was a teenager. It was like it was a crisis hotline for teenagers to call and talk to other teenagers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we had to go through a whole training. I mean, it's what I did for community service, but I gave like way more than I had to this thing just because I think it's still around and I really believe in it. And I would be there like all the time. You only had to do it once or twice a week, but I wanted to be there as much as I could just because sometimes it's just having someone there...
Was there a screening process for what teens they were picking? Because I know some shitty teens that if they were on the phone with me, I'd be like, you know what? Actually.
Oh, yeah. No, we had to go through like pretty extensive training. Oh,
okay, good.
And then even after the training, you couldn't take calls. You could only listen.
Oh.
So then you would learn from that. And then that had to last a while. And then you go through a series of tests.
And they're obviously all recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, that was really eye opening just because. I mean, you're just like, man, these people have struggles for real. And I know when I've struggled with depression, a lot of the time I'm like, I don't even know who I could talk to right now. And that's part of the problem. But then just knowing that there is someone there, even though you can't fix it, is helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's not, but sometimes it is. And
well, for Jordan's show, he's got a good show for a reason because he takes a lot of steps before you go on it. But I had to fill out like what I would talk about on the show and advice I'd give and stuff. And I said... and I haven't said this on the show, but I think it's really important to make a list of people that you can call on when you are super low so that when you're in this really, really dark moment, you eliminate a step. Like you eliminate, oh no, now who can I talk to? I have to figure it out. Like you pull out a list and you have like X, Y, and Z of who you can call and they're already aware. Like you give them a heads up like, hey, I struggle with this. Just so you know, I might call you out of the blue someday or something. So it makes it easier for you because when you're in that really dark moment, you're not going to go, you know what? I'm going to look through my contacts and see who a good person is. You're just going to say, fuck it. And I'm not going to talk to anybody. So if you kind of set that up so it's ready to go immediately if you need it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Another thing I was told to do once and I've done it and it really helps, speaking of lists and stuff, is when you're having a good day, write in your own writing on a piece of paper everything that's going well or that you're grateful for or that you're happy about. And then when you're having a low day, something about looking at this paper that you wrote yourself in your own writing really makes it true for you, and it doesn't maybe solve the problem, but it reminds you that there is this other way of living and thinking.
Yeah, you should always carry it in your back pocket.
Yeah,
so always wear pants. That's the advice I'm giving.
Yeah, no, I have a jean skirt that'll work if you guys want to borrow it.
Yeah,
but
there are jeans pockets on jean skirts.
But yeah, no, apparently like your own handwriting thing is really
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So don't type it on your phone.
No, handwrite it. Yeah. And yeah, even like before, yeah, there's something about the way that it seeps into your brain when you write yourself. Like before every set I have, I write by hand what my set list is going to be. Like I don't do it on my phone.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. It just solidifies it or something.
Yeah, there's something familiar. Well, I feel like women's handwriting would lift them up better because it's prettier. Guys' handwriting might depress them. They're like, oh, this is chicken scratch. All right, well, cool. This is awesome. It's super helpful information. And I'm not saying I didn't expect to get it from you, but I had no idea that you were holistic and like vegan and doing all these really good things. So,
oh, that's actually a compliment because some people who you do know that about, you're like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So I'm glad I'm in the closet.
Know.
Yeah. Thanks
that.
For having me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for doing the show and tell people where they can find you.
So yeah, my name is Zara Mizrahi, like the store and designer. You can find me on Instagram, Z-A-R-A. Mizrahi, and on Twitter is the Zara Mizrahi because some bitch fucking took Zara Mizrahi.
Oh,
I know, I hate her.
Yeah, someone took my name on Instagram, so I have a vendetta. We gotta
take these people out.
I know.
So yeah, that's it.
Do you have any shows coming up?
I have a lot of shows coming up.
You're super funny. I love your stand-up.
Oh my God, thank you.
Yeah.
It's pretty consistent, luckily. I mean, all my dates are actually on my website, ZaraMizrahi.com.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for doing it.
Yeah, of course.
So you guys remember that you always get the shows on Thursday, which is kind of a lie. Usually late Thursday, early Friday. But I want you to subscribe and to tell a friend. And also, if you can rate and comment, I would love you for that. And please support the show at Patreon. It's patreon.com/mentallychill. And that's about it. So stay sad enough to listen, but not too sad. Bye, guys.